and welcome to God in Our City, a weekly Christ-centered program highlighting what the great God of the universe is doing here in our city. Your host is Pastor Dave Watson. Pastor Dave has been the pastor of Calvary Chapel for over 26 years. He's also the founder and president of the New York Institute for Biblical Studies. But before we go live to our worship service, here's a special word from Pastor Dave.
Hi, this is Pastor Dave Watson. I want to thank you for listening to God in Our City. Many of you call us for prayer, call us for a free CD, or just call to thank us for our ministry. Today, I need your help. God in Our City is a locally sponsored ministry. Our church, Calvary Chapel, is doing its part to make this God in Our City broadcast possible. I need many of you to partner with us so that God in Our City can continue to be a blessing to you and so many others who listen. Please consider making a financial contribution to the ministry of God in Our City. You can do so by calling us at 718-720-5394. That's 718-720-5394. Or by going to our website, calvarychapelsi.org. That's calvarychapelsi.org, and scrolling down to the bottom of the page where there's a contribution opportunity. For every gift of $50 or more, I want to send you the 5-set DVD of this series that we're just finishing called Living Out, How to Apply the Bible in Our Everyday Life. By making a contribution, you are investing in the kingdom of God right here in New York City. You're helping us make a difference. So please be a difference maker. Please prayerfully consider becoming a partner with us today. Now, back to the broadcast.
Giving out free Gospels of John. Make sure you have that Gospel of John. You'll need that before the end of the day. Just a moment, we're going to sing our welcome song. Jay, what's our welcome song?
Mighty is our God.
Mighty is our God. Let's stand, shake hands with at least two people you didn't come with. Proclaim to them, Mighty is our God. Take it away, Jay and the team.
Our King, mighty.
great singing today. Try and find your seat. Trust that all is well with you, that you're happy, glad to be in church today. If you're not, I can't help you. We're going to have an amazing time together today. Also, again, I just want to make sure everyone has a Gospel of John. Everybody has one of these Gospels of John. You should have gotten one when you came in. We have different covers, but all the same translations. So those are yours. And if you'll give this away this week, I'll give you another one next week. But if you won't give it away, don't even bother asking for another one. You know what I'm saying? But those are available for you. And let me just say as well, if you're listening by radio, if you're part of our radio audience today and you want a Gospel of John, if you'll just dial 718-720-5390, 718-720-5390 or 5394. 718, let's all say it together, 720-5390 or 5394. We will send you a Gospel of John. We want you to have one. Jay and the team have a couple more songs, and then we're going to be talking today from the Word of God. And we encourage you, text a friend today. Tell them to listen to the Word of God. Listen to God's message to them today. Amen. Take it away, Jay.
Let's all stand. We stand and lift up our hands, for the joy of the Lord is a strength. We bow down and worship Him now. How great, how awesome is He. Together we say,
joy of the Lord.
Holy is the Lord God. You stood before creation.
You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. You stood before my failure and carried the cross for my shame. Sin weighed upon shoulders, my soul now to stand. What can I say? What can I do? Offer this heart.
So
I'll walk upon salvation.
Your spirit alive.
Your spirit alive in me. I'd like to declare your promise, my soul now to stand. So what can I say?
To him, return to the Lord. So I'll stand.
So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one. My soul.
Will you take your Gospel of John? Turn to page 7. Makes it real easy. John 3:16. Some of us, we can't see this small print, but some of us, we can catch it, all right? Let's all read together John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. One more time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this amazing verse that has changed so many lives. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your message to us. Thank you for your commitment to us, your love to us. Lord, we would ask that during our time together today, that we will listen to you. You have spoken. Help us, Lord, to listen to what you've said and to act on it, God. May we be actors upon what you tell us today. Please touch each of our hearts in our time together today. Touch my heart. Touch these, my brothers and sisters' hearts. Lord, make us like Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. As you're getting seated, I invite your attention to the big screen. Today, we're going to be beginning a series on, we call it 3:16, the message, the mission, and the motive, all found in this amazing verse, John 3:16. After the first service, someone told me, they said to me, there's a whole Bible. You only preached on one verse. We'll get some of the rest of the Bible in, but clearly this is one of the most famous verses of all time. One of the most famous verses of all times. In fact, it's very interesting. Charles Spurgeon said the following. He said, I was very greatly surprised the other day in looking over the list of texts from which I have preached to find out that I have no record of ever having spoken from this verse. He was talking about John 3:16. This is all the more singular because I can truly say that it might be put in the forefront of all my volumes of discourses as the sole topic of my life's ministry. John 3:16. Of course, John 3:16 finds itself often in the news. Tim Tebow is famous for putting John 3:16 under his, we call it the eye black, before he went to a game. And he's famous for that. There used to be a guy who went to almost all the sporting events. He had purple hair, rainbow colored hair, and he used to carry a sign, John 3:16. So many people have heard of John 3:16. Individuals have heard John 3:16, but that's not the issue today. In fact, in the news recently, Aaron Hernandez, a former football player with the New England Patriots, took his life. And before he took his life, he wrote in his own blood, John 3:16, on his forehead. We're going to learn today that it's not important if you have John 3:16 written on your body. It's whether or not you've had it written on your heart. As we begin to look at these verses, we start with the word for. And that speaks of an unprecedented task. For an unprecedented task. John chapter 3, verses 14 and 15, the verses right before John 3:16, tell us, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have what? Eternal life. But it speaks of the task that Jesus Christ came to accomplish. And that task was to give mankind the opportunity to have what? Eternal life. But he references something. He references Moses lifting up the serpent in the wilderness. That's a story found in the book of Numbers, the 21st chapter and the 9th verse. The children of Israel were in sin against God. God sent snakes into the camp, and the snakes, poisonous snakes, bit the people. Their remedy, their cure, their antidote for being bit by this venomous snake was a serpent put up on a pole, and if they would look, they would receive
healing. The picture here is of Jesus being lifted up. And all we need to do is place our faith on him to be healed from the ravages of our sin. It is an unprecedented task. And then that amazing word, God. The unfathomable purpose. The unfathomable person. God, the unfathomable person. You know, you can't figure out God. Now, sometimes we think that people are religious because they go to a certain church, they do something. But religiosity puts God in a box. You can't put God in a box. God is great, awesome, infinite, immortal, and indescribable. You and I can use words to put God in some form or fashion that we seek to understand. But here's the essence. Here's the reality. God is ultimately undescribable or indescribable. When we say he is infinite, what we mean is there's no end to him. When we say he is immortal, he doesn't change. When we say he's awesome, we're just saying he's awesome. So can you fathom eternity? If I tell you, think about a time that just goes on and on and on and on, you can't fathom it, and neither can I. If I tell you that God was from the beginning, and before the beginning there was God, you and I start, we think in terms of linear, and there's a start and there's a finish. With God, there is none. God is great, awesome, infinite, immortal, and indescribable. But watch. Romans 11:3 tells us, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments, how inscrutable his ways. In other words, you can't even begin to comprehend God. But God is not simply this infinite being in the universe who created it all. God is involved. He's involved and he's personal. He's involved and he's personal. He's not one who just set it all in motion. He's one who's involved in your life and my life right now, today. Today. When I say that God is all powerful, how powerful is God? All. When I say that God is all knowing, how all knowing is God? All. 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 Can you and I ever hide from God? I don't know about you, but I go in my house, I put the shades down, I close the door, I lock it, and my family and I, we're alone, right? God knows what goes on in my house. And sometimes I find a spot in my house, I go, when hopefully no one will interrupt me, and I say I'm alone with my thoughts. But I'm not alone. God knows my thoughts even before I have them. And he understands them better than I. And let's just say this also about God. He is holy. When we say that God is holy, what we're saying is that God is perfect with reference to doing what is good. God always does that which is good. He always abhors that which is evil. The fact that God always does that which is good, that he's pro-good to the max, is very, very encouraging. The fact that God really is against evil is very discouraging, or not discouraging, but it's very, scary because, sometimes I do that which is wrong. God is holy, and he wants to be involved in my life. And your life in a personal way. For God so loved, and it's an unconditional reason. The word love is thrown around in our culture crazily, but when it comes to God, it emphasizes the degree of the love that he is motivated by. God so loved the world. The degree of his love is emphasized by the word so, but the Greek word here is agapeo. It means unconditional, eternal love, and then we measured it or we intensify it with the word so. So the almighty, omnipotent, awesome God of the universe who loves infinitely, actually infinitely loves you more than you can ever imagine. Now, we as human beings have an end to our love. What happens is at some point, when someone does something to us or someone messes something up, at some point, what do we say? I'm done. Anybody here ever said you're done? Shh. I'm done. There's an end to my love. There is no end to God's love. You can say to me today, Pastor Dave, you don't know what I've done. Let's be clear. I don't want to know what you've done. God knows, and He still loves you. You don't know my thoughts. God knows your thoughts, and He still loves you. You don't know my actions. God knows your actions, and He still loves you. You don't know what I might do in the future. God knows what you might do in the future, and He still loves you, and He loves you infinitely. Our love, my love, says, I love you because you make me smile. I love you because you look good. Or our love says, I love you if you'll do this for me. I love you if you'll do this for me or that for me. And sometimes I love you when you do this or that. Or I love you so I can manipulate you. I can get you to do what I want you to do. But here's the reality. God loves us. He loves us, period. He loves us how? Period. 1 John 4:10 says, in this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. How do we measure love? We don't measure love by human standards. Here is the measure of love. God loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation, the appeasement for our sins. God so loved. Sometimes with my kids, I've done this game, and you've probably done this game. How much do I love you? How much does mommy or daddy love you? Or now, how much does papa or mama love you? Or in my case, how much does abuelo love you? I love you this much. How much does God love us? From one outstretched arm to the other, that's how much God loves you and I. The Bible says God so loved what? The world. An undeserving people. Created by God, but in rebellion from God. The word world equals cosmos, the order, the arrangement. Not just the physical planet, but the system itself. Collectively, this system is in rebellion against God and against His plan. Personally, we are all on a daily basis falling short of God's expectations and stepping out of His revealed will. The scripture says that we all sin and continually fall short of the glory of God. You know, if I was a betting man today and I was going to bet whether you sin or not today, I'm betting you sin. In fact, I'll take that bet every day because we all sin in choice, in nature. We have this free will thing going on, and we sin. God so loved a sinning world. God so loved sinning individuals. God loves people. God loves a people group. God loves a person. God loves me. Yes, it's true that God loves the world. He so loves the world. But you and I need to break that down a little bit. God so loves, for me, the Irish. You would think that would be very hard, right? God so loves the Italians. God so loves the Latinos. God so loves the Asians. God so loves all these people groups. But God loves individual people. God loves you. And He loves me. And He could not love me anymore. And there's nothing I can do to make Him love me less. 1 John 5:19, speaking about the world system, says, we know that we are from God and that the whole world lies in the power or the hands of the evil one. God loves a world and loves a people and loves a person and loves us in spite of the fact that we are in many cases under the control of Satan in rebellion against him. God so loved that he what? He gave. It's an unmerited action. God so loved that he gave. It's an unmerited action. God's unconditional love resulted in an unmerited act of giving. He gave. He freely gave. And the sense is, he gave completely. You could not give more than God has given. Now, these are beautiful John 3:16 portraits, I guess you'd call them, in a metal reliefs of that beautiful verse. Isn't that nice? You know, I like that. God's so loved. It's awesome. Wow. So, Pastor Dave so loved Josh that he went and he spent $27 on this steel rendition of John 3:16, so that if Josh would take it, he wouldn't leave here without it, but he could have it forever. So what? Josh took it. Now, obviously, God's love is a lot more than Pastor Dave's. Spent $26, $27 to buy him something small, and it won't last forever. But God gives so freely. Romans 5, 6 through 8 puts it amazingly this way. For while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for who? The ungodly. Don't you think that you're righteous? Don't get on your high horse and think you're better than anyone else. You and I are in this statement. We are the ungodly. We are not God-seeking people. When you hear that someone's seeking God because they're religious, don't believe it. Religion is the desire to capture God in a box and be comfortable with that God. Oh, I've got my 7 sacraments. I've got my 10 commandments. I've got my 5 pillars of Islam. Ooh, I'm good. Or I don't know, what do the Baptists have? You got to be baptized and go to a church supper. But all of those, none of those, in fact, give us any credit with God. We are the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God's love extends to us in spite of ourselves. God does not say, clean up your act and I'll love you. God says, I love you, period. And his love caused him to give. What did he give? His only son. An unmatched gift. An unmatched gift. The word only there can be translated the son, the one and only, the one of a kind one. Jesus is the one of a kind person. He's not born of God in the sense that that God gave birth to him or created him. But in the order of things, he's thought of as the Son. No one has ever seen God. The only God who is at the Father's right side, he has made him known. That phrase, the only God, refers to Christ. The word that is used in the original language is quite strong. It's monogene. Monogene. One beginning. It refers to the concept of Christ being one of a kind. He is one of a kind. God's gift is unmatched in terms of who it was. Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, worshipped and adored by angels, the creator and the sustainer of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, is the gift that God has given us. Unmatched in terms of cost. God could not have given any more expensive of a gift. Now, the amazing thing in our culture is we kind of measure the love that people have for us by the size of the gift they give us. Ladies, I'm going to give you a little hint here. Let me just help you with this. When you're thinking of getting a gift for your husband or your significant other, it's not the thought that counts. It's the gift. Men, do I have a witness? Don't say, well, I'm not going to get him anything big because it's the thought that counts. Let me just tell you, it's not the thought that counts. It's the gift. God could not have given any more expensive of a gift than he gave his son. I have three children. I have two grandchildren. Here's the news, folks. If it comes between you and them, sorry about that, you lost. I will not give them up for you. God gave up his son for you. God gave up his son for me. That is the depth of his love. That whoever believes in him speaks here of an unhindered result. Whoever believes in him. Literally, all the ones believing unto him. Now, there's a first sense here I think that's important. The belief is a mental assent, but it's also a personal trust. It's not simply, oh yeah, I believe Jesus came, died, rose again. Yeah, I'm good with that. It's acting upon that and placing my faith in Christ and Christ alone. It's acting on that and placing my faith in Christ and Christ alone. The ones believing, the Greek word for belief is pistuo. It means to entrust something to someone else. A belief that moves you to action. It's not simply having the check. It's cashing the check. I have a debt that I cannot pay. It is the debt for the sins that I have done. How many of you have sins? The debt that I owe is the wages of sin is death. It's separation from God for how long? Forever. Jesus wrote the check to pay for all my sins. I must cash the check for that to be efficacious for me. Otherwise, Jesus just did it. I need to put it to me, to my account. And notice it says, the ones believing unto him. There is an exclusivity about this statement. His provision of salvation and he himself, Jesus Christ, what he's done and who he is, but there's no room for anything else. It is not believing in Jesus and my good works to get me right with God. It's not believing in Jesus and my sincerity to get me right with God. It's not believing in Jesus and my sacraments to get me right with God. It's not believing in Jesus and my baptism. It's believing in Jesus and my helping little old ladies across the street. Believing in Jesus and my offering. None of that is what we're talking about here. We're talking about believing in Jesus and Jesus alone. It's a billionaire, famous billionaire in our world, in our New York world, who gives a tremendous amount of philanthropy. And when asked why he did it, his hope was that God would see it and be pleased. God doesn't need my money. Salvation is in Christ and Christ alone. Salvation is in Jesus, period. If you're looking for salvation outside of Christ, you don't add Jesus as part of the equation. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. It's not Jesus and my little trinkets. It's not Jesus and the stuff I got going on in my house with my candles and all of those things. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. That is where salvation is found. But note the distinction between the mental assent and the personal trust. It says in James 2:19, you believe that God is one. You do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Mental assent is not enough. I must act on it. I must place my faith not in what I've done, not in what others have done, but in Christ and Christ alone. That word pistuo is used in John 2:24. But Jesus, on his part, it says, did not entrust himself to them because he knew all people. It was a situation where people were going to try and make Jesus king or do something like that. It says Jesus didn't entrust himself. He didn't place his faith in them. He didn't give himself over to them. He wants us to do the opposite with reference to him. He wants us to give ourselves completely over to him. And then these beautiful words, should not perish, but have what? Everlasting life or eternal life. It's an unrestricted promise. Negatively, they should not perish, not an unbearable end, not experience eternal destruction. We're not talking when we say eternal destruction, that you are annihilated. We're talking about that you experience the pains of hell forever. That's right. I know it's not popular to preach on hell or to explain hell, but here's the reality. There's a hell. And people without Christ, no matter how sincere in our eyes, no matter how religious in our eyes, no matter how special or whatever in our eyes, without Christ, they cannot have eternal life. But those who believe in Christ will not perish. They will not experience this destruction. John 3:17 says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." Jesus didn't come to make it harder for you to have a relationship with God. Jesus came to make it simple for you to have a relationship with God so that you would not be condemned with the rest of those who reject Christ, but that you might be saved through him. Positively. But, and I love this, in the strongest contrast possible, they should not perish, but have eternal life. An unending beginning. Those who have Christ experience or possess life eternal. Believers presently possess life, and it goes on eternally. We're reminded in John 10:10, it says, "The thief comes only to steal and to kill and destroy. I came that they may have what? Life." But not just have life. Have it what? More abundantly. Did you ever wonder what eternal life consists of? Is it streets of gold? Is it hanging with our friends from the hood in heaven going, "Woo, we up here. Yeah. Yeah." Watch. Here's the definition of eternal life. "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." This is eternal life. It is a personal relationship with God and Christ. What will make heaven absolutely amazing is this unending relationship with God and Christ. It is not quantity of life so much as it is quality of life, but it will be forever. That's what it means to have eternal life. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life. Whoever does not obey the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God remains on him. Notice that. Please notice that. If I don't have Christ, I'm not going to see what real life is all about. Watch this. If I don't have Christ, God's wrath right now is on me. I am simply waiting for it to come down. But Christ came to give us this new life, to forgive us, to give us a relationship with him. Wow. What are today's takeaways from this? Number one, there's a loving God. There is a God. There's no apologetic here for God. God doesn't try to explain his existence. He's here. You know why the Bible says the fool has said in his heart there is no God? Because to say there's no God, you must know everything. And anybody who thinks they know everything is a fool. It's not just a matter of intellectual dishonesty, although that's there. It's not just a matter of not noticing the facts and the truth. It's beyond that. It's being so arrogant you think you know everything. And the fool has said in his heart there's no God. Because if you think there's no God, you must know everything. And since no one is like that, you must be a fool. There is a loving God. There is a sacrifice Savior. There is Jesus. And why was he sent? Because God loves you. He came for you. He came for me. He died. He was given. He died. There's a personal salvation. Salvation isn't something that's everyone as much as it's something that's you or me? You and me. Have I experienced that personal salvation? I go to church. I'm not talking about that. I like Jesus. I'm not talking about that. I think Christianity's great. I'm not talking about that. Have you experienced Christ as personal Savior? For God so loved Dave that he gave his only son, that if Dave would be believing in him, Dave should not perish but have eternal life. If I will transfer my faith from myself to him exclusively, I will not perish, but I will have a quantity and, more important, a quality of life that will be forever. Story is told of a man who found himself in a position hanging on a rope, about to fall to his death. So he yelled up, "Is there anybody up there? Help!" The voice of God came down and said, "I'm here. Let go. I've got you." There was silence on the other end for a moment. The man then yelled up, "Is there anybody else up there?" It's so simple. It's scary to place all my eggs in one basket. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me." Have you placed your faith in him and him alone? John 10, 27, 28. "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me, and I give them" what? "Eternal life. And they shall never," oumein is the Greek phrase there, "they will in no wise ever perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." I've got them. Placing our faith in Christ is as simple as that. I've asked Amy to come and sing that beautiful song about God so loving the world before we bring our service to a close today.
Whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. I try so hard to find the words to say, to let you know how great is this God to whom I pray. Nothing can nor ever will compare to the peace that flows in your soul when he is living there. Oh, I know you've been through so much. It's hard to contemplate letting go and reaching out in trust. But I know the simple truth that love is here for you. So take him at his word and see what he can do. So love the world that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting. take a step of faith. Be prepared for Jesus' love to carry you away.
God in Our City is an extension of the ministry of Pastor Dave Watson and Calvary Chapel on Staten Island. For more information about Calvary Chapel, please visit their website at calvarychapelsi.org. That's calvarychapelsi.org. Or call the church office at 718-720-5390. That's 718-720-5390. To contact Pastor Dave, please email him at nycshepherd@gmail.com. That's nycshepherd@gmail.com. Pastor Dave would love to hear from you. Also, be sure to check out his blog at nycshepherd.com. That's nycshepherd.com.
Hi, this is Pastor Dave Watson again. I want to thank you for listening to God in Our City. Many of you call us for prayer, call us for a free CD, or just call to thank us for our ministry. Today, I need your help. God in Our City is a locally sponsored ministry. Our church, Calvary Chapel, is doing its part to make this God in Our City broadcast possible. I need many of you to partner with us so that God in Our City can continue to be a blessing to you and so many others who listen. Please consider making a financial contribution to the ministry of God in Our City. You can do so by calling us at 718-720-5394. That's 718-720-5394. Or by going to our website, calvarychapelsi.org. That's calvarychapelsi.org, and scrolling down to the bottom of the page where there's a contribution opportunity. For every gift of $50 or more, I want to send you the 5-set DVD of this series that we're just finishing called Living Out, How to Apply the Bible in Our Everyday Life. By making a contribution, you are investing in the kingdom of God right here in New York City. You are helping us to make a difference. Please prayerfully consider becoming a partner with us today and making a difference. This is Pastor Dave Watson. Have a great day, and may God richly bless you. Hello again, this is Pastor Dave Watson, and I'm here with Chaplain Joe Aguilar. Chaplain Joe runs our Spanish ministry at Calvary Chapel. Chaplain Joe, tell us a little bit about the Spanish ministry at our church.
Well, thanks, Pastor Dave. The name of our ministry is, in Spanish, Comunión Latina en Calvary, which is Calvary Fellowship for the Spanish Community. And we meet every first Sunday of the month at 2 p.m., and everything is in Spanish. So we are an extended Calvary Chapel ministry showing God's love to our Spanish community.
Is there anything special that you guys are doing coming up?
Besides meeting every first Sunday of the month at 2 p.m., on April, we will be having two services. Our regular service, April 2nd, which is the first Sunday, and then our Easter celebration, April 16th at 2 p.m.
And all services are held at 30 Maple Parkway at Calvary Chapel, Staten Island, New York, 10303. What's the phone number folks should call if they want more information?
Call me at 347-772-4598.
What's that number again?
347-772-4598.
So if you have a Spanish friend, or if you are a Latino yourself, please join us at Calvary Chapel. We have a very, very special place in our heart for you and a service just for you and your family. God bless you and have a great day.
Les esperamos.